Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage. You have to believe in the power of you. Uncomfortable is where the change is. And we are live. Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you are living your Cognitive Rampage. Woo! It gets me hype when I start to say that. Oh, I'm feeling good today. I hope you are too. I love when I get in that mood and I'm about to sit down and deliver some information, some Cognitive Rampage that may ruffle some feathers. But that's certainly going to do that. So before I dive into this topic of overtreatment and trauma, I need to preface some things on the outside, all right? I need to preface the variables, okay? Now, I understand, trust me, I understand that people do experience trauma, okay? In quotes, all right? That people do need treatment, okay? That there are some wonderful places out there, some amazing people out there that are treating people, that are taking care of people. Don't get me wrong, okay? I might even say there are probably even a few out there that need the medication, that are on the medication, okay? So I may even go that far, all right? I used to be anti all that 24/7, right? But I had to reel it back in a little bit today. And so I have to preface this before I say that, all right? Some people need treatment, okay? So I'm putting that on the front street before I even dive into this, right? That treatment helps people, that sometimes medication helps people. I, for one, don't advise risking medication unless you've exercised all of your other options until you get there, okay? People that are experiencing schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder mixed with bipolar disorder, etc., I'm not saying that some of these people don't need medication to stabilize, okay? I'm just prefacing that. But we are still currently 5 fucking years later that I've been into this Cognitive Rampage telling people about it. We are still over-diagnosing and over-treating people with direct medication, okay? Well, that's just still happening. It's just what goes on, all right? Psychiatrists, I know there's a few of you good ones out there. I'm speaking to the ones that are caught in the system and those that aren't caught in the system, okay? Now, when I first started this, I came out just attacking facilities, okay? But let me go further back and go 50,000 feet instead of 20,000 feet, because don't get me wrong, there are some fucked up facilities out there where it's all about the bottom line and the dollar, okay? Don't get me wrong, that happens. But there are also facilities out there that do their best to try to provide the best for their patients, be that inpatient, okay? This happens, all right? I'm prefacing both sides here, right? But for the psychiatrists that are stuck in these facilities, they're working in these facilities, I have seen them diagnose people to where the diagnosis is not even remotely fucking close to the person that I'm treating as the therapist, okay? It's ridiculous, the over-diagnosing of patients that come through certain facilities. Again, not all, okay? It is ridiculous. I've seen 5, 6, 7 diagnoses on a patient where 4 or 5 of those aren't even remotely close and 2 are iffy. But, I mean, that overdiagnosis, because look, psychiatrists, not all of them, but most of them, their treatment is with a pill. That's what they do. That's what they know. There are very few good ones out there that still actually do therapy along with their own treatment, but they typically leave that up to the soldiers out there, which are those therapists that are in the trenches trying to survive. All right. And so let me back up to the 50,000 foot view of this fucked up system we call mental health treatment. All right. Facilities, some of them are just trying to stay alive. All right. They're trying to survive. So I have trashed those facilities that treat people that way, that treat people like numbers, not like people. They're busy treating symptoms and not the actual person. I've done that, okay, till I'm blue in the fucking face for 5 years. So let me back up and talk about the system here that which some of these good facilities try to survive and have to operate in. We have a mental health system that is dictated by insurance companies, okay? It's dictated by insurance companies. So what you got going on right now, right, is if a person comes to an inpatient treatment, let's call it dual diagnosis, let's call it drug treatment, right? Pick one, or even mental health treatment. Dual diagnosis is simply both. Dual diagnosis is simply somebody dealing with a substance use disorder as well as a mental health disorder, but you can separate those two however you want to see it, right? So inpatient treatment, those good ones that are trying to provide good health, good mental health treatment for people are caught in this fucked up system, right? To where, and the poor therapists, the fucking poor therapists are the ones that have to wear it on their back. The therapists are the ones digging in there that have to play both sides of this fence, and they need some fucking help, people. Let me tell you, people talk about wanting to pay teachers enough money. Well, listen here. Most of these therapists that are sitting in these treatment facilities trying to fucking help people are being overworked. It's slave fucking labor for pennies on the fucking dollar. There are facilities out there that are paying professional therapists with license $16 an hour, right, to go work what you think is a 9-to-5, which is not. You're there by 7:30. You're home by 7:30 at night. Then you're up doing notes till 10 p.m. at night. It is fucking ridiculous. So a shout out to the therapists that are out there grinding, trying to survive in this fucked up system, that are doing it out of love and more than likely are fucking up themselves. Many of these therapists that are out there are having to live in a world where their self-care has gone to shit, where they can barely take care of themselves. Burnout is fucking ridiculous in this field. It is a terrible, terrible thing that's happening, that therapists cannot even practice what they preach, not because they're lazy or don't want to, it's they don't have the fucking time. And by the time they are mentally drained by the end of their day trying to survive in these trenches of fucked up facilities or some good facilities that are trying to survive in a screwed up system, I'm telling you, these people are fucking warriors and soldiers. I have recently been a therapist. I went back to the field for a little bit and I had to walk the fuck out. I walked out, not because the facility wasn't doing their best, but it's because the system is totally fucked. It's got patients trapped in a circle of what I'll get to later called overtreatment. It's got patients trapped in a medication, what I still to this day called chemical incarceration. And it's got therapists chained to their fucking job, working hours you can't fucking imagine. It is ridiculous. It is terrible. It is a horrible, horrible system, and they pay them fucking peanuts. When you're offering a licensed professional $16 an hour or even somewhere around that, you are a fuck you facilities. That's all. I'll say it for the therapists that can't say it because they spend hundreds of thousands or whatever thousands of dollars on a degree to get there because they love people, they want to help people out, and they're going to walk into a facility that's going to pay them shit and work them 60, 70, 80 hours a week and then hold them to a unrealistic bar, okay? So insurance companies require facilities to do documentation that I swear to God reads like some constitutional law. It's 6,000 different documents. You spend 70% of your time charting, 30% of your time actually giving help to the fucking patients that are there trying to get it, right? You have some pretty good clinical directors in the middle and chief operations that are trying to make it easier for everybody, but they're trying to survive in this system. This system is screwed. So insurance companies, what do they want to do? They don't want to pay for your treatment, I promise you that. Just like they don't want to pay for your shit that gets broken or stolen when hurricanes come, right? They're trying to find out the least way that they can pay you. And I'm telling you, Blue Cross Blue Shield, you're the fucking worst one of them all, and you know it. But either way, they don't want to pay anyway. So they require all this documentation to prove why this person needs to be there, okay? And they hold these people to standards. So it's called what's charting to the deficit. The therapist has to chart to the worst of the patient and how that person possibly is being, maybe not as a whole, and can barely show that the patient is improving. If the notes show the patient is improving, well, now you can't justify the patient needs to be there, even though this patient may have a fucking history or some serious stuff they're going through where they seriously need it, but it doesn't qualify. There are insurance companies out there that do not even qualify trauma as a treatment for inpatient treatment. There are insurance companies that don't qualify certain levels of depression. You essentially need to be on the verge of killing yourself if you're going to stay within an inpatient treatment, right? That's where you're at, right? So you have a therapist who's having to chart to a deficit who may be doing good work with a patient but can't chart that. If you chart too much good work and then you got 2 weeks into it, hey, the patient's doing great. No need to stay in inpatient treatment any longer. That's cheaper. They can treat it in the intensive outpatient or some outpatient treatment, right? So in order for these facilities to make more money and continue to make profit, well, they have to tell these patients or these therapists, well, charge of the deficit is what you fucking call it, right? I get it. It's a bottom line business. I get it. It's a bottom line business. You're running it like a business. The system's got these facilities trapped in a shithole where you can't make any more money at it, really, unless you're doing it. You're seeing treatment facilities close all across the country or merge. They're beginning to merge to giant, giant, big networks of treatment facilities. And this is happening because insurance companies are kicking certain facilities out of their, quote, network. So if you're not in network, what they're trying to get you to do, which is not a bad idea from an insurance side, is to get you to get your treatment local. Not a bad idea if you have facilities in your area. Many people don't. So if these treatment facilities are not in your area, you don't get to go. They're not going to pay for it, or you got to make up the difference of what they won't pay for. So now you're dealing with insurance companies that are cutting companies out of network, right? Trying to cut down on how many dollars they got to pay out. So in response, these treatment facility corporations are merging together. They are merging together to get larger and larger and larger. Therefore, they can look at the insurance company. Guess what, fuckers? We're in your network now. Now you have to send them to us because that's what here. So you have a battle between the insurance companies and the corporate overlords that which run most of these facilities and trying to make millions of dollars, right? So you have this battle going on between these two major organizations, while in the middle, you have these poor fucking therapists that have to weigh this weight. They have to chart more than they've ever charted before. It's ridiculous amount of time. The patient gets less time getting actual treatment. And this is the system that they're trying to survive in. Meanwhile, within those same facilities, you have psychiatrists that may not want to give out as many diagnoses as they do, but they need to do this in order to keep this patient on the insurance payroll to pay this company to keep them there. Right? So that's what I'm prefacing. Not all of these psychiatrists are just throwing diagnoses out there. A lot of them are trying to stack them on there to prove that, hey, this person needs to be here. The problem with that is this patient then finds out they have six diagnoses, and boy, do they start to manifest those diagnoses over time. When a patient comes in that thinks they may be a little depressed, they see the psychiatrist within three days, they've been given five other diagnoses they didn't know about. Now all of a sudden this becomes real to the patient. And as a therapist, you have to develop five different treatment plans to treat these five things. And unfortunately, so many good therapists cannot practice as they see fit as a therapist. They have to create these stupid treatment plans that go step by step to prove to the insurance company when therapy doesn't work fucking like that. This ain't like building a house. You don't sit with a patient and go, okay, we're going to do A, B, C. We're going to do D, E, F. When you come in here, these are the things we're going to apply, and then we're going to fix the house in this way. That sounds good, but what you're talking about is applying methods and theoretical approaches that you know will have to work because this, and this will work, and you forget to treat the person. I'm not saying the therapists are, but because of the system they have to operate in, they're not able to treat the person that's in front of them. They got to treat the diagnoses, right? I typically look at diagnoses as symptoms. I look at diagnoses as symptoms of something that's happening with the person and or their environment or both, and possibly neurologically, right? So we end up having to create some bullshit paper plan, treatment plan that if you don't stick to and if you don't write it down correctly and completely right, guess who's not going to be able to get treatment anymore? The person that you're trying to help. I can't sit, or the therapist cannot sit with a patient and literally treat the person about their lives. They have to prove what we've done in that treatment session by going, well, we applied this method and we did this and this and this. Look, man, Leo, my boy out there, one of the best clinical directors, one of my favorite mentors. I wrote about him in my book 1,000 times. He told me when I was a very, very young therapist entering the game, he says, listen, Adam, a therapist is 95% the person, 5% the book. And when that trust builds with that patient of yours, you can do wonders. But see, they don't have time. We don't have time. We have to do it by the book. So what you're doing is taking this natural gift that many of these therapists hold and their own approach to how they help people, and you're removing the person from the therapist and making them do the therapy by the book so they can stay there, right? Now back to the overdiagnosing. Now this person believes, holy shit, I have 5 diagnoses. These are the things that happened to me. This is what I'm experiencing. Now you're treating them A, you're treating them left and right. You're treating them with all these different things instead of maybe focusing on the one thing that they're dealing with, right? Or some of the things that are causing that, right? For me, substance abuse is a lot about a symptom. If somebody is addicted to something, and I'm not saying it's always trauma either. That's the other issue I got when practitioners lean toward the fact that, well, addiction is all based in trauma, period. All right? Dr. Gormate has some good research out there, but it's not all linked to trauma, okay? A lot of times somebody just went to a doctor and had a sprained ankle. They gave them some drugs. They started taking it. They didn't know what would happen. Boom. Now they're winding up addicting, and it's not because they have some traumatic fucking life, okay? Nor am I the one that adheres to the idea that addiction is a disease, okay? We can talk about the middle brain and how once the middle brain is changed, it doesn't go back, but we know that the brain has plasticity and can heal over time. You're listening to a person right now whose middle brain was affected apparently at one time, but I was able to come back from that. I guess I defied that research, right? The idea that we have to call it the addictive brain or the addictive person. I mean, then this person begins to download that they have some sort of disease that they'll never be able to shake for the rest of their lives. I mean, this is a whole argument out there, okay? We can even lean toward Dr. Stanton Peel and some of his wonderful research out there, and you can lean to the other side to point it out the other way, right? I mean, that's just some that's just a left field from mine, right? But these systems that the therapists have to operate in and that patients are subjected to is downright shitty. And we keep dumping more and more money into it because it looks good for political parties and for politicians running. We're putting more money into mental health. Well, no, you're fucking not, because the insurance companies aren't going to let it. They're not going to let it come in. Why the fuck is an insurance company, this is on the medical side too, why is an insurance company have anything to do or any say in what a patient needs mental health-wise or medical-wise? They have their own doctors on staff. They call them doctor-to-doctor appointments, right? Peer-to-peer, where the psychiatrist or the medical doctor have to talk to the insurance doctor to try to prove the case, and you got this doctor arguing back with him, when it's really about the bottom line. We don't want to spend the fucking money. We don't want to spend the money, and people are dying because of it. Now, on the other flip side of that, back to the patient who maybe has spent time after time after time in a rehab facility. They've gone back. And what can begin to happen to a person? Again, I'm talking about the variables here. I prefaced in the beginning of this already that there are people that need help, okay? There are people that need inpatient treatment. One of the best places I think that we should focus on keeping alive are detox facilities, right? Understand that 60 days, 90 days, 30 days, these things are insurance set numbers. There's no magic number, but they would tell you that more research shows the longer that you're in treatment, the better chance you have, and I would concur, right? I would concur on that level. But the idea that we can just give somebody 5, 6, 7 diagnoses, right? Or take this person, like I was talking about before, sorry, I had to rewind, you know, that has spent the last 3, 4, 5 years in and out of rehabs, 5 different therapists constantly seeing treatment, getting treatment, all this other kinds of stuff. Well, see, the problem is different therapists have different approaches. They have different opinions. Different psychiatrists have different opinions, right? So imagine 3, 4 years of going to treatment, in and out of rehab, or even if it's just mental health treatment, in and out of intensive outpatient treatment, or outpatient treatment, or inpatient treatment, right? Or PHP, partial hospitalization, right? All these different treatments, seeing different therapists that have their idea of what the person is experiencing, what their diagnosis may or may not be. Can you see 5 years down the road where somebody may be more fucked up when they started, right? Because one therapist may be trauma related and just say it's trauma related, period, and they start this trauma work on somebody, right? Because they've experienced something. Now, practitioners out there, you understand as well as I do that when you start treatments like EMDR or ART therapy, when you start to get in that you can accidentally embed traumatic events and or bring to light traumatic events that may not have happened. I've seen it, where patients go through EMDR treatment, they come out of a treatment session, they realize, oh my God, I didn't even realize something happens. Oh, it was a suppressed traumatic event that was there. One, we can't prove it. The person had no memory of it whatsoever, but now they all of a sudden have this vivid memory of what has happened over time that perhaps wasn't even the problem to begin with, but yet now we've unfolded some things, much less possibly even created things that did not even happen, right? And allow me to argue the other side. EMDR has been successful for a bunch of people. Don't get me wrong. I make the same argument with AA. AA may only have a 2% success rate, but hey, 2% over the entire United States, that's millions of people, okay? And again, I'm a fan of somersaults. Whatever works for you, fucking do that, all right? I don't care if it's AA or somersaults or EMDR, whatever the fuck it is. If it's helping you, then you need to do that and continue to stay with that. But I'm pointing out the other side of that fence. What about the other 98% that AA doesn't help? At least finally, facilities are expanding their treatment options by moving further away from AA and NA being the common goal focus. At least they're finally bringing in some other approaches into their therapy settings, which is, thank God we're finally doing that. 5 years ago, when I got into dual diagnosis facilities, it was hell-bent 12 steps, even though my entire schooling career, we didn't even have a class, not an hour, not a chapter on the 12 fucking steps, okay? Right? I have my issues with it. I probably have a fucking issue with everything, right, if you pull me on the right day. Right, but I do say you got to be able to argue both sides, otherwise you're not fully competent. If you can argue for and against something, possibly you're competent about something. So I try to argue both sides as I'm arguing it, right? I've already argued for AA, NA, and the people that it does help, the things that it does provide, even though there's not much scientific evidence behind it whatsoever. But if it helps, it helps, right? You do that. So thank God we at least have facilities that are expanding outside the AA, NA idea of approach, right? At least that's fucking happening, all right? But when you have things, and we'll go back to this patient, right, who spent the last 3, 4, 5 years in and out of different treatment facilities, in and out of outpatient treatment, inpatient treatment, intensive outpatient, therapists at home, right, whatever they've been going through, how many different diagnoses might they actually be hit with? 5, 6, 7, 10? 10 different diagnoses, all with different treatment plans. See, what can begin to happen to a person is they begin to define themselves, thus by their diagnoses. The person becomes difficult for the patient, person. I never even called the people I was working with patients. I call them people because that's what they are, goddammit. And so this person begins to define themselves by these diagnoses and can even begin to manifest these diagnoses. The more you research, it's kind of like an idea. If you keep Googling medical symptoms after a while of what you're going through, you think you have this, you think you have that, you think you have this, right? You start to see things and possibly manifest them, right? So take this person that perhaps had some issues in their life, right? Maybe were ignored by their family somewhat. Who knows, right? Over time, this person's story begins to be defined by the diagnosis that they have. This is who I am. I am addict, which is a phrase I cannot stand. You don't say I'm headache, right? We don't go, oh man, I'm headache, right? Unless you know you're a headache, right? You are not an addict. You're being affected by addiction. How what you say matters, right? It gives power to the belief, right? But this person begins to define themselves by the story, right? You have to look at, you know, people do things for certain rewards, even though the rewards may be negative. Perhaps that person was ignored by their family, their parents didn't, I don't know, maybe they just weren't paid attention to. Maybe they didn't get much love from friends, family, etc., right? So now, since they've been in this treatment year after year after year, in and out of treatment, in and out of rehabs, in and out of mental health facilities, this person is now getting this reward. Perhaps their family now pays more attention to them, comes to their rescue. Maybe they're feeling more attention on either side, right? So this person begins to continue to perpetuate the story. Why would the person let go of the story that is now rewarding them with the things they never got, right? So after a while, after you've been to these many treatment facilities, been treating like crazy, perhaps done some sessions of EMDR and trauma treatment that have unveiled some things that you didn't know or possibly even remember, right? I love how it works on the subconscious, in quotes, right? There's so little research on the existence of the actual subconscious out there. Freud brought this shit up and some others. And then look at how much research is existent of the subconscious to date, right? So they take a concept of working from the subconscious, bringing things to the conscience. Well, perhaps maybe the conscience put it in the subconscious for a reason, and that's where it needs to be. But we're guessing that maybe, well, if we can pull those out, then we're pulling out the things that are really fucking with them. It's a dangerous theoretical approach, but I promise you it also has worked for people, all right? I'm arguing the other side too. It has worked for people, right? Somebody's got to talk about the other side, but I'm talking about the idea of over-treatment. I'll pose the question to you. Can someone be treated year in, year out, week in, week out, however long you want to take it? And after constantly being treated so long, I have worked with people that know the jargon better than I do. They knew symptoms. They knew how to talk about what it was. They were quite quite versed in all of their diagnosis, what that means, even some of the treatment aspects, even some of the treatment interventions, right? They knew it. They're like, oh, I already know the DBI. I already know what this is. I know what that is. They speak the jargon. I've run groups before to where I'm talking about it, and they'll give me answers, and canned answers respond back that I know they just heard from multiple therapists over time of what that is, right? So can someone be overtreated? That's what I'm asking. Do you believe someone can be overtreated? Think about it. Can someone be overtreated? In the medical field, we would call that a hypochondriac, wouldn't we? We would say, oh, they think something's wrong with them constantly and all the time, and therefore, oh, they're a hypochondriac. So many doctors are referring people that actually have medical issues. They kick them out to anxiety because that's just what they go to. And they go, ah, you got anxiety, and that person can get diagnosed years later with something serious they almost would have caught early, as a side note. But can someone be overtreated to where they have begun to define their narrative, their story of who they are, by their diagnoses, by their treatment, and have learned so much about their diagnoses that they begin to manifest those symptoms to be real in their lives? Is that possible? It's all I'm asking. If you're nodding your head, yes, maybe. If you're confronting this and you're going, no, this is bullshit, right? Because we're so caught up in a time now to where if you talk about the other side of like, well, people need mental health help, mental health awareness. Could we have too much mental health awareness? Could we? I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. Look, I get it. People need help. They shouldn't be alone. But I'm going to tell you the hard fucking thing right now. Most people that commit suicide didn't say a fucking word. They didn't tell anybody anything. You didn't know they were fucking sad to begin with. Most of them don't say a word in a majority, and that's fucking hard to hear. I know it is, and it's fucking sad. And it's fucking sad that that's true. It's sad that that's true, that you won't hear them. And if the ones that are talking about it, if they're crying for help in that way, then great. We need to be able to get in there and help them. I'm not doubting that side. I'm not doubting the fact. But could we have made mental health awareness so aware that people now begin to manifest, this is what I'm experiencing, just the same that happens. Enough research is there about Googling medical symptoms and how we can manifest certain things by researching them, thinking we have them. You can ask most doctors out there, what do they tell you, and nurse practitioners, don't Google, right? Don't Google your medical symptoms, right? But mental health, we do the same thing. So people are out there hyping about awareness of anxiety, awareness. Are we all aware that depression and anxiety exist? I think we are. So I'm to the point of, can we offer different avenues of help, right? Can we offer a different set of help? And can we pull fucking insurance companies out of dictating medical and mental health treatment, please? Can we fucking do that? Nope, we can't, because the bottom line matters on the insurance company, and the bottom line matters for the corporate overlords that own treatment facilities. There are some treatment facilities out there that are doing it for the love, that are barely scraping by, and that are trying to offer people good treatment. And shout out to those facilities out there, and a big shout out to those in the trenches, those fucking therapists, those fucking warriors that are doing it, that sacrifice their own health and life to be able to offer that help to somebody while they're getting beat up from both sides. Can you imagine sitting here as a therapist? You're getting beat up from your corporate bosses on this side of, hey, the patient census is down. You have early discharges happening here. Well, maybe because they're fucking doing better. Maybe they don't need to be inpatient treatment anymore. Is there any reason that maybe if somebody has gotten better that they should be able to fucking leave inpatient? Because I can tell you this, a patient that stays in inpatient longer than they need to could be asking for some serious trouble. Because those inpatient facilities are full of people that are going through some serious shit, man. And some of them are there because they don't have another place to go. And some of them are there because they're avoiding probation. Some of them are avoiding prison. Some of them just don't have a house. And so that's where they're finding themselves at. And so when you're taking a person who may be really in there trying to get treatment and help, has gotten as much out of treatment as they can get, but yet let's run them through some more trauma treatment. Let's run them through some more EMDR. I mentioned for a second, right? If somebody brings up the idea, hey, I have a suicidal thought. Oop, that's all we need. Write that down in the notes. We'll get another 14 days out of them. So the therapist is sitting there getting beat up by the corporate overlords. Hey, don't let them leave early. Keep them here as long as you can, right? The insurance company's fighting back at the corporate people going, hey, prove to us why they got to be there. The therapist is making strides but cannot document the strides the therapist is making. The therapist cannot even document their own good work. They have to keep finding where the person is really shitty and maximize, magnify that within the notes to try to make sure this patient can stay here, right? So they're filling up notes. They got a crazy amount of charting they're trying to do while they're trying to work with the patients at the same time, getting beat up from their bosses on this side, who are getting beat up from the insurance companies on this side. Mind you, the patients on this side trying to get some fucking help from somebody that can only give about 30% of their time while at these facilities to actually fucking help them. And try to give them some work to where they may be doing better, but hey, they maybe need more time. Maybe they need a little bit more one-on-one. Maybe they need some differentiation in groups, but you can't differentiate groups because insurance requires X amount of groups based on specific things to be given. You can't treat the patient with the talent you have as a therapist because you have to do it within the corporate structure. That is a sad fucking thing. And I'm going to go back. People can be overtreated, right? People can be forced to stay. Not forced to stay. There's lockdown facilities and they're not lockdown facilities. Patients can be treated or be told, advised, that they should probably stay in treatment longer than they really need to be. When they can get back out on society and start working. Because, look, inpatient facilities are great. I'm a true believer in detox facilities. This shit is fucking necessary because people that try to quit that shit on their own can die. You try to detox from benzodiazepines and alcohol on your own, you are running a risk of death, people. You are running a risk of death. Detox facilities are something that is fucking necessary. But when you go into a detox facility, the issues I have there, not all, is when they take you off this drug, they put you on this drug, they put you on this drug, they start you on Suboxone, right? I went off on it when I was on Joe Rogan, and probably too far, but probably fucking not. Then what I should have said when I was on Rogan is the issue with Suboxone isn't the fact that people are dying on that. They're dying when they begin to mix the drugs. Dr. Carl Hart said it. I think it's somewhere around 75% of overdoses are on two drugs, right? It's happening because people are either have fentanyl in the system and they take a Suboxone that they didn't know the fentanyl was in their system, or they're on some Suboxone at the time and then they try to go and do some opiates at the same time, which blocks the opiate receptors. You can't get high, right? And then they mix those two drugs, and this is where you get some deadly fucking issues when you're mixing them. Not to mention, they're on 5, 6, 7 other... I've seen patients on 14 medications that come into facilities, and they're just... I mean, what does this do to the brain? What does it really do to the brain, I mean, when that treatment is really happening, right? And again, I preface this by saying I'm not saying that medications don't work, right? I'm not saying that they haven't helped people. I'm not saying that some people need them, all right? I'm not saying that. But I am saying the amount of fucking people that are given medications... probably don't need them. But that's what you do as a psychiatrist. If you got to give them 5 or 6 diagnoses to make sure they can stay in the treatment facility, well, how are you treating that? Psychiatrist is held to those same standards too. Well, I'm treating it with this concoction of drugs, this silver bullet of drugs. We give them this one for this one, this one, this one. Again, patients are still sitting in groups and they're slobbering on themselves and they're falling the fuck out while they're trying to balance that medication adjustment to find out where it's at, where that sweet spot is, right? Meanwhile, it's a human brain you're fucking with as you're throwing stuff out there, right? I mean, the system is fucked. And these poor facilities... the ones that are good out there, the few out there that are good, are trying to survive in the middle of this. They're trying to survive with the pressures of insurance companies taking away funds, and it turns these facilities into places that then have to try to extend patients as much and as long as they can, sometimes for patients that don't need it, by accepting patients that need to be at a different level of care, a higher level of care, some other treatment. I'm seeing facilities taking people that are autistic that need to be working at behavioral centers, coming into dual diagnosis facilities that they're not structured to treat. I mean, the system is fucked from all sides. I'm talking about all sides here, man. All sides, not just the over-diagnosing, not just the over-medicating and those two mixed together, but the under-availability for treatment, the under-availability for opiates. Yes, I said that. The under-availability of opiates for people that deal with chronic pain that maybe need it and can't get access to it because of the, quote, opiate crisis that's happening on this end, right? Now, all this part is mixed up, that it's blamed on the over-prescribing on the opiate end of that happening when a lot of research began to point out that's not where it's coming from. Right, that's not where it's coming from, right? Perhaps we have a fucking society issue. Perhaps it's a society issue. I mean, a sad fucking statistic, teenage girls, the suicide rate raised by almost 14%. 14%. We have more mental health awareness than we've ever had in our fucking life. We have more drugs, more access to mental health than we've ever had, really. But yet the suicide rate spikes in teenage girls. Why is that? I'm sure you have your ideas of why that is, and I wish I could tell you why that is, then we could fucking fix it. But my idea is pointing out, what part of that fucked up system of mental health is it? Is it over-awareness, right? Is it the judgmental communities that we live in and the bullying that happens? There was bullying happening when I was a kid, too. Yeah, but I get it. You have social media bullying, so it's constant, right? It can be even more, right? So you got over-diagnosing, over-treatment, under-availability, making it more difficult for people to actually get into treatment. They may need the fucking treatment. Then you have facilities holding on to people as long as they can to try to make the bottom line get bigger, and insurance companies are getting tighter and tighter and tighter on who they're going to let in and how long you're allowed to treat those people, kicking them to the outpatient side as fast as they can, while you may be telling a patient that you have 6 diagnoses when probably 2 of them would have sufficed, if not 1. But 1 diagnosis doesn't let you get accepted and stay long in an inpatient facility now, does it? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. So we have to give patients diagnoses that you know as practitioners aren't fucking right. For all you therapists and counselors out there, how many times have you pulled up a patient's chart and you read the 7 or 5 diagnoses that are there, and 3 of them you went, I'm not fucking sure those 3 are there. And you've made a treatment plan for 2 of those diagnoses because the other 3 you didn't quite believe was there, but you can't argue with the psychiatrist now, can you? That's the boss on the grounds. That's who's running the yard, isn't it? That's who's running the yard, and you can't say nothing. But again, the psychiatrist maybe doing it out of their good intent by saying, hey, if I don't diagnose this patient with all these diagnoses, the insurance company's not going to let them in. And then who suffers? That patient and the therapist are the 2 suffering in this whole fucking thing. The 2 suffering in this whole fucking thing are the patients and the therapists. You got the people that are giving the actual treatment to the patients getting murdered on both sides, getting ran fucking rampant, getting held to standards. Burnout has increased and increased in the therapy world more than almost anywhere. It is fucking gross. It is fucking gross. And patients get it on both ends. So the idea of over-treatment is what I'm going back to, right? Perhaps the insurance companies are onto something. I mean, I know it's from their fucking bottom line, but I'm trying to argue the other side. Trying to argue the other side here, okay? Work with me, right? Perhaps they're onto something that we're over-treating people, right? I wish that's where it was coming from, but it's not. It's coming from our bottom line. We don't want to pay out the fucking dollars, right? I love it. How wonderful, nice an insurance company is to you when you're signing up for medical health or when you're signing up for fucking car insurance or home insurance. They're so nice to you, aren't they? They're so nice. And once you're signed up and you need them to be there for you, they're like, fuck you. We're not paying for that. We're not paying for that. You didn't sign this clause. This doesn't get it. We'll cover this many days, right? Oh, and that's the other thing. The insurance companies are fucking the facilities back by calling them later, and then they issue for payment, and they'll go, maybe the patient's been there 30 days, and they'll say, well, we'll pay for 20. We're not going to pay for the other 10. So they're robbing them on the back end, too. So what does a corporation do that offers mental health help? Well, we got to keep patients as long as we can. Those poor UR people, utilization review people that have to play the go-between between the fucking insurance companies and the therapist in the middle, well, shouts out to you guys, trying to find more days for them, trying to keep them there. But could we be trying? But see, what that's what happens. So because the corporation is trying to survive and make up for the days that the insurance company said, well, we're not approving those days, right? Let's take a given month, right? Let's take a given 30 days, and they've treated 10 patients. 5 of those patients left after 20 days, right? And insurance company refused to pay for 5 of those days, right? 3 patients stayed 30 days, and the insurance company refused to pay for all 30 of those days, maybe 25 of the days. Then, so what do you got to do? You got to take the patients where the insurance companies are willing to pay, and you got to extend their treatment, even though they might not need it. Even though there is some research out there that longer a patient stays in mental health treatment on an inpatient side does not guarantee better results. It can, but it can also hinder. It can hurt because the inpatient facility, that environment is not the reality. When that patient thus then returns home, the environment is typically the same. What are you gonna send them to, a halfway house, a sober house? There are some good ones out there, but there's a majority ones that are, you're walking into a shithole trap. You're walking in a shithole fucking trap. And so they're going to kick you to a sober home, a sober house, like you can't make a fucking living, right? I mean, it's fucking ridiculous, right? So the environment they have to return to stays the same. So, as Joe Rogan asked me, so how do we fix this thing? Well, I wish I had the fucking answers, but I would start first by getting insurance out of medical and mental health. That's the first thing you need to do. And then, possibly, it wouldn't be so fucking expensive for someone to pay for that. If you had a fee for service, I talked to 3 or 4 doctors, medical doctors, and I typically ask them, hey, you know, what would you do to fix this? Every one of those doctors, ear, nose, and throat doctor, a cardiologist, and a primary care. All three of them, without hesitation, said, turn everybody to Medicare. That's what they all wanted. Turn everybody to Medicare and or fee for service. You pay someone, they get a service. You're seeing more and those more and more of those places popping up. Some practitioners are even refusing to take insurance right now. I'm not even going to get into how insurance companies are screwing up private practice people for mental therapy or mental health help and psychologists. Jesus, dropping their rates like it's crazy. Right? So what ends up happening, right? I'm going to reel it in, come back. You have the corporation, thus the facility, that's being robbed 5 days, 10 days out of certain patients, right? Well, we'll pay for 30, but not for 40. Well, they've been here for 50. Sorry. Bye. Right? Maybe that patient actually needed 60, right? But they couldn't stay. You had to get rid of them, had to go out. Maybe the patient that stayed 60 really only needed 30, but we kept them double because we got to make up for the losses on the back end from the other patients. Can you see this from a business standpoint? Right? I hope you can see it from a business standpoint. And in the middle, can a patient be overtreated? Can a patient be overtreated where they've been told so much that they have diagnosis 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, that they begin to download all these diagnoses as being completely honestly and real? That how can't somebody eventually say, man, I have 5, 6, 7 of these diagnoses. I'm taking 14 medications to treat these things. And let's assume, right, that the psychiatrist was doing this out of good intention, that the psychiatrist gave all these extra diagnoses to try to get the patient in there so they could get the treatment they needed. Well, the problem that comes with that good intention is that psychiatrist has to treat 5 of those fucking diagnoses, and most of the time they're going to do it with medication. So now you got a patient in there that may only have 2 of the 5 diagnoses being treated with medications for the 5 diagnoses, maybe even just the 4, maybe not 5, medically being treated with prescription medication for 4 of the diagnoses, when maybe everyone believes it's just the 2. The therapist typically would have to do a mental treatment plan for all 5 of those diagnoses, but typically will do a treatment plan on the ones that are worse, like possibly 2, that maybe that patient only had those 2 diagnoses in the reality, but now they're spending time having to treat all 5 of them because it has to match the plan that the patient came in there on, that the person came in there on. So now, instead of being able to focus on the 2 major issues that person may be having, and they got to focus on all 5 of them doing a short amount of time, right? Can you see how this cycle repeats itself continually and continually? Good facilities are becoming more and more rare because in order for them to survive, they cannot operate ethically. They have to call it things like charting to the deficit. And good facilities, good places that are helping people are dying. They're dying because they can't stay open. They can't stay open and they can't stay alive in the system that is currently operating. They can't. So they have to adjust to survive. I already gave you the business landscape here. You got insurance companies ripping days off of you. And most of these the good facilities, they'll let the patient stay 5 days, 10 days, 20 days, sometimes longer, right? Even though they haven't been paid for them yet. Even though they know the insurance company may say, we're not paying for it anyway. And some of those facilities let those people stay anyway. And when that happens, that starts to hurt the bottom line. So then the therapists are forced to say, hey, what can we get out of this person that's here that we can convince their insurance company to make them stay another 30 days or another 2 weeks when maybe they didn't need that? So all the way back, how do we fix it? You get insurance companies out of this fucking mess. You pull them out. I'm telling you, if I was president for a day, the first thing I'd fucking do is make an announcement, and I'd have to do it from a bulletproof box. I know it. But the first thing that I would announce, I said, insurance companies, your days are fucking numbered. Your days are fucking numbered. You're out of this shit. Forget your insurance lobbyist. Get the fuck out of my face. If I see an insurance lobbyist in Washington, I don't know, I'm going to arrest you. I would get insurance companies, get money out of politics, first thing I'm doing, money out of politics, get everybody who is able to run for president or pick it like that, they get a fair shot. Here's your $3 million, you do the best you can with that $3 million, and you run on that campaign, and I hope you do well. No super PACs, no lobbyists, you pull the money out of politics. When you pull the money out of politics, you start to pull the money and the power away from insurance companies that are dictating the insurance care that we all have been through. I know you've been through on the medical fucking side. I know you've shopped. I mean, and pull insurance out of employer-based insurance benefits. Don't leave it up to the employer to have to offer that. Pull that out. I mean, and eventually you just get rid of insurance companies, do fee-for-service, rates start to come down. overtime. It'd be a fucking mess. But the first thing I'm doing is getting insurance companies out of this fucking bullshit. It's so expensive. It's fucking ridiculously expensive, right? So, and then probably the second thing is you treat people within their environment. Treat people in their environment. Here's what I would advocate for as a first step approach. What if we sent, and I mean doctors, we send psychiatrists if you want to, good ones, doctors if you have to, therapists, you send them to the home. Now I know what you're thinking. Who's going to pay for it? How much is it going to cost? Listen here, if you go into somebody's environment and you help them within their environment, make structures and changes within their environment, and you help them within that environment, then that person is not returning to that same environment. And I'm telling you that environment is at least half the battle. You can deal with somebody's mental all you want to. You can help their biology all you want to. But eventually they return to the same environment and those same behaviors start to catch up on you, right? You treat people in their environment, within their home. And I'm telling you, within their home. And it, even if it takes nurses that have to be there, right? Nurse practitioner, this is expensive. I know it is. But if the one-time expense of treating somebody within their environment, I'm talking occupational therapists, I'm talking all kinds of therapy, I'm talking case managers, I'm talking personal trainers, I'm talking mental health therapists, I'm talking nutritionists, I'm talking neurologists, I'm talking the whole nine. You give them the whole nine within their home, within their environment, make the changes best you can within that environment. One and done is what I'm calling. One and done is, I know that's not everybody, but one and done is what I'm calling. Rather than two other options, continue with what you're going. Continue with what you're going, and somebody spends the next 5 to 10 years of their life in and out of patient rehabs, in and out of inpatient facilities, dual diagnosis facilities, intensive outpatient facilities, continual therapy on the outside, medication treatment along the way over 5, 10, 20 years. What the fuck does that cost? What does that cost in the long run versus doing it the right way? I mean, I compare it to the idea of Black Hawk Down, right? If we went in there and did it right, so many people and our armed forces wouldn't have been murdered if we didn't have to sneak in there on some political bullshit. If we just did it right, right? Just saying, throwing it out there, left field. Bring it back, right? You go in there and you do it right. You treat the person within their environment and you give them all the access tools that are necessary, and you don't, and you're not focusing on how much longer. We should keep them more days. We need to be treating them 10 more days, 15 more days. Fuck the magic number of 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. You do what it takes the first time to get them to that place. I know it'll be expensive, but I bet it's cheaper in the long run. I bet it's cheaper in the fucking long run. But we can't have that, right? It costs too much money. Insurance companies would be beating us up. Those are the two first changes I would make if you want to actually help people. If you want to help people, pay them. Pay them, pay them. Make it worth it, okay? Because the life that these therapists are going to walk into, I wish somebody had fucking told me, and I wish I, you know what, let me blame myself. I didn't do good enough fucking research is what I didn't do. I didn't do good enough research. I wanted to help people. I'd come back from a life of holy shit, and I thought, I'm going to help some people here, and I became a therapist, and I took on loads and loads of student loan debt only to walk into a fucking corrupt system where a lot of these therapists are burned out and have given the fuck up, and I don't blame them, and have given the fuck up because they can't fight a system, right? You take on the world's going to fucking win, but they got a job, they got loan debt they got to pay off, right? They got to have their insurance, right? Got to have health insurance, so they stay in that profession, and they get unhealthier and unhealthier and unhealthier, right? And I learned it quick. I could see the forest from the fucking trees. I could see the chessboard, and that's when I got pissed. That's when the Cognitive Rampage came out, because I was pissed. I was pissed about the system. I was pissed about the facilities. I was pissed the kind of time I was having to put in to try to help people, or I couldn't take care of myself. Holy shit. But change those two things. Treat people within their environment. Give them access to fucking healthcare. Give them actual access to healthcare. For all you people out there, I'm sorry, man. I don't lean a political party either way. I fucking hate them all, right? If you identify your political party, hey, that's on you. If it works for you, it's wonderful. But I'm not this. I'm not left. I'm not right. I'm not centered. I'm not medium center. I'm not quarter center, half over center. I'm not any of that shit. When I see what's happening in the medical and mental health fields, I can fucking say that's something that we need to fucking fix right there. I don't give a fuck what it costs, because that's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's mama. That's somebody's brother. That's what's happening. And I know it's affected your life if you're out there. You know somebody that's been affected by mental health or substance abuse or something like that, and yet we keep treating it the same fucking way. It's insanity. We keep treating it the same fucking way, man. I'm telling you. And I'm back to that idea, we can overtreat people too. I do believe we can overtreat people. I believe when you convince people that they have trauma and that trauma is the field of it and that's the bottom line of it, you have to be careful. Even with therapists like me, just like me, I have my own biases. I know what biases I got when I go into it, right? I know my biases that can steer me wrong and to make poor decisions. I hope therapists out there are aware of their bias, especially trauma. Trauma-related therapist. If you're a trauma practitioner, of course, everything's a fucking nail because you're a trauma hammer. It must be trauma that they're going through, and let's go through some deep MDR and pull out some trauma that may or may not have existed. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, right? But if it helps you, hey, do that. I've seen it work for people, right? Can do amazing things, but it's dangerous as fuck, too. It's still theoretical. At the end of the fucking day, we're treating theoretical diagnosis with theoretical medications and theoretical treatments, okay? We're getting closer and closer, don't get me wrong, with certain brain scans and imaging that can point out some certain things and some getting a lot better guess. The hypotheses are getting closer, they're getting better, and that's wonderful, and I look forward to that fucking day. But if we keep doing what we're doing, there will be no more therapists worth a damn. There'll be therapists so burnt the fuck out, you'll see therapists starting to fucking do themselves in. You'll see that happening. Now, you already see it happening. They're killing themselves slowly by being overworked and getting paid pennies on the dollar to do so. You're seeing patients that have nothing else or nowhere else to go. I mean, thank you, Mr. Ronald Reagan, for, you know, deinstitutionalizing. Don't get me wrong. Those places, those asylums were pretty fucked up at the time. But your answer to that was to open the doors and let them all the fuck out. That was crazy. I mean, it's why you have a homelessness issue. You have a homelessness issue, you have a mental health issue. I think it's 7 out of 10 people that are homeless are dealing with a severe mental health issue, right? It's not because they're fucking lazy. I'm not saying those people don't exist. Don't get me twisted. Those people exist, all right? But a lot of those people are dealing with severe, quote word there, severe mental health issues, right? And God forbid if it's a veteran that's fucking out there going through it. Damn it, government. You promised these boys and these women help. And you'd be there for them, right? And they come back, and the lines from the VA are a mile fucking long trying to do something. I mean, at least you're trying to do something. Some VAs out there are doing great, and some are a piece of shit. But, I mean, God, whew, going the fuck off. I mean, I'm saying bring back something like an asylum, right? Because sometimes their families just let them go. They just let them go. They don't care. They just let them go and put them places, but these should be nice places. I've said the same thing about orphanages, the same thing about that. Man, if a kid's got to go to child care, DCF custody or something like that, it should be fucking heaven. It should be the best fucking thing that a child gets put into. If they get pulled away from shitty fucking family, we shouldn't have low budget facilities to where we put our children. These are our future, our children. These are the little innocent ones, man. And they get put in shithole fucking foster care and facilities that have to take care of them that wind up being shit. There's some good ones out there. Don't get me wrong. I know you're out there too. Love you too. Right? But the places we're spending our money, are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? Woo! I go off. But we have to watch out for overtreatment. See, I'm arguing both sides. We got to watch out for the overtreatment and the overtreatment issue and the idea of telling everybody the only reason they got addiction problems because you got trauma and treating that trauma. And then saying, well, you have an addictive brain, you're an addict. And then dubbing people these certain things in order to keep them in treatment longer. It seems pretty convenient, doesn't it? If I'm treating people with addiction and I tell them that they have a brain disease they'll never get over and they have to stay with me for life, I just made a patient for life, didn't I? Sounds really fucking convenient. Fucking shit. My God. There's been small changes, and then sometimes the changes we're making are hurting people on the other end. Making opiates harder to get to, okay, but a lot of that's not being linked to the real issue that's happening on the other side. People that actually need those drugs that have some serious, severe chronic pain that they can't battle, don't have access to it. We're over-treating people. We have people that go in and out of treatment facilities their entire lives, and they begin to shape their own personal narrative as being that. And I mean, I did an activity. You can do one now if you want to. I like to do is write your entire life biography in 5 sentences. Write your entire life biography in 5 fucking sentences. That's it. Simple sentences. No run-on bullshit. Write it in 5 sentences, right? All right. And then turn this podcast off. Come back and listen to it after you've written those 5 sentences. I'll give you a second. Good. All right. If you haven't written that down and you listen, you're cheating. It won't have the same effect. All right. That's on you. If in those 5 sentences you included one or two of those or more of those sentences that said, I battled depression, I battled addiction, something linked into that, you're beginning to define your entire life. Think about your entire life every single day, 87,000 seconds in a fucking day. How many days old are you? And of all those days you've had, and you only got 5 sentences to write about your life, if you include the battle you've had with addiction or mental health issues like that, that's what I mean. It begins to define your entire fucking life, even though you may only have been battling it for 5 years. And you may be 35 years old. That's 30 years of your life that you weren't, but yet it defines you, right? So the more we treat people and tell them about diagnosis, I don't know, man. I don't know. For me, I guess the jury's out in some fashion on that idea. But I'm talking about it, all right? I'm at least putting it out there that we over-treat some people, all right? That some people go through so much fucking treatment, they define themselves by that. That becomes the person they are in that family unit, in that circle, that they're the ones that have depression. They're the ones that have addiction. They're that person, and maybe they get attention by it. Maybe they don't. I'm not saying that. I've been that person, so I'm not saying it's some good fucking thing you want to experience. And I'm also not saying that doesn't really happen with people, right? I'm not saying that people don't not have depression, anxiety, trauma. I'm not saying that doesn't exist, but I am saying it is possible to over-treat somebody, that you run them through treatment after treatment after treatment. I love y'all. I appreciate you listening to the Cognitive Rampage right now. Got a lot of cool stuff going on. Check out Brett Mercy Agency on Facebook. That is a cognitive production. What world am I in? That's a comedy production thing that we're doing. We got a big show this Friday at Area 51. If you live in Orlando, it's out in Sanford, Florida. Look up Area 51 Cava Bar and Lounge. Great fucking show going on out there. You can always, again, as always, you can pick up my book, The Cognitive Rampage. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You find it a bunch of places. Shout out to the Tribe of Change that's out there doing their thing. Yeah, a lot of stuff going down. I love you guys very much. Thanks for listening and letting me go off on this for a little while. We got a whole lot of things going on, but I'm not going to cover all that shit. Fuck it. I won't. I went off on enough today. Got the ears red, I'm sure. Oh, look at that. Woo! My ears get red. I go on fire. Just want to give you those things to ponder about. You know, even yourself, if you're in treatment out there yourself, think about how you may over-treat yourself and you begin to define yourself by what they tell you in treatment, that you must be this diagnosis or this diagnosis. I know sometimes it can feel good, like, oh, shit, at least I know what's wrong. But a lot of times, understand this is theoretical. Know where those psychiatrists are coming from. It may be well-intended, but you may have 5 diagnoses and maybe only 4 of them, maybe only 1 of the 4 are legit, right? And the other ones are kind of out there. Who knows? And again, I leave this episode by giving a huge shout out, a big fucking love, the fucking warriors of the fucking day, of the week, to you therapists, to you social workers that are in those fucking trenches, surviving and doing your best to help those in the trenches of mental health treatment today. Even shout out to some of those medical professionals that are trying to deal with the same bullshit. But today I'm focusing on those therapists out there. Fucking huge love to you all. These big corporations would not survive without you. And I'm telling you, every therapist should pull together and start a therapist union. Should be a mental health counselor and social worker union that pulls together and demands higher wages and better working hours, because it's ridiculous. They should have to spend the money. They should have to spend the fucking money. If they're making the money, they should have to spend the money, because you all, without you all, there is nothing. Without you therapists out there in the trenches surviving, doing that paperwork night after night, hour after hour, and still finding it somewhere in your heart to help those people in need, you guys and girls are the fucking champions out there doing it, okay? If I said something that offended you as a therapist, I apologize. But hey, it's worth opening up your mind. Just think about it. Think about the idea of what that can mean in over-treatment. If you hold somebody 6, 7, 8 weeks longer in therapy than they really need, just some shit to ponder, y'all. Just some shit to think about and ponder, and we'll keep fighting the good fight out here, everybody, and therapists, keep fighting the good fight for those people that need it, that are in there, that you're helping. You're probably helping more than you probably realize, even though you got a chart to the fucking deficit every day. You're probably helping more than you realize, okay? And if nobody's telling you that, let me tell you that. Huge shout-out to those good psychiatrists that are doing it right. Big loves and hugs to those therapists and those mental health counselors and social workers that are in the trenches fighting the corporate overlords on one side and a fucked up system of insurance pressuring them on the other side. And they still find it in their hearts to deliver their practice with passion and with love and with kindness and with effort and work, and are still willing to question their own approach. Huge shout out to y'all. Love y'all very much. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you are living your cognitive rampage. Love you.